You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. David, I was just looking at the achievements that Trump has managed to rack up in the first 6 to 7 weeks of his presidency. He's managed to alienate allies, i.e. Mexico, Canada, Europe and Ukraine. He's started a tariff war with Mexico, Canada and China, and Europe will be following next. What else has he managed to do? Oh, yes, the stock market is now in correction territory. The S&P down, officially down 10% from its highs. Tesla, for example, his little Mad Max Musk, his share price has gone from 488 to its current level of 258.
That's enough damage for now.
There's a couple of other things that I had in my head, but I can't remember what they are now. But he really has been a human wrecking ball. He's horrible.
Totally. And the worst thing is that he's the kind of character who will always believe that he's right. Mm. And he'll be surrounded by the three stooges or two stooges, Besant and Lutnick. You know, together they make up the team of Mo, Schmo, whatever their names were, three stooges, you know, who are clowns, who just will not recognize what's happening around them. You know, if this is a reaction, you can't ignore what markets are saying about what's likely to happen. Where a chap like Robert Rubin, who was the previous, Secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton, you know, who said that these boys haven't got the this team hasn't got the foggiest notion what they're doing. You know, he said that at a Bloomberg conference. I mean, he was head of Goldman Sachs, very respectable man, you know, and he's coming out publicly and saying that. You can imagine what others are saying as well. And Trump's the kind of person who just utterly believes what he's doing is right, you know. There's no, this is it, and whatever the damage is, well, too bad, you know, so we'll suffer a little. But what he doesn't recognize is that if you sink a ship, it's very hard to refloat it. And that's a danger. I think people forget about it. That you know, once it goes under, it's very, very hard. It's like a company, you know, where they go into liquidation or they go into bankruptcy or something. I'm not suggesting that. It's very hard to get confidence back again. It takes a long time. So, you know, those margins that you have to play with. You know who might be the white knight or General Custer riding over the not General Custer, the, you know, the cavalry coming is going to be Powell. I think he's going to reduce rates faster than we thought. You know, now we're already discounting three rate cuts now from zero a few weeks ago. Zero, now it's three, and it might be sooner than we're anticipating. Simply because of don't ignore the market. You know, you can feel it building up and say, listen, you've got to do something now.
You know that Trump came out with a couple of really funny things the other day. He says, someone asked him about the stock market. He says, I don't watch the stock market. It's the first thing he said. I don't watch the stock market, which is a blatant lie.
Totally.
That's a blatant lie. And then he said, well, the stock market is down this amount, etc. He said, well, that's got nothing to do with tariffs. I think he blamed Biden again. I think he blamed Biden.
You can't blame. This is tariffs. Mm. This is insecurity. This is uncertainty. You know, when you say, well, we're going to let Canada off and Mexico off for a month because of the agreement that we have, but we'll revisit it on April the 1st. Not April the 1st.
That's no, April the 2nd.
Yes. April the 2nd. Yes. You know, yeah, an idiot. So what are you going to say? Okay, so am I going to take a position for a month and feel relieved? What happens after that? We don't know. Nor has he gone through the consequences. He's got absolutely no idea of how complicated supply lines are, you know, and how complex they are. And if you fiddle with one, of course, it has consequences on the other. So I just find I sit here at the southern tip of Africa in a small little apartment here, and I shake my head. I'm saying, you know, I'd be much better than him at the moment. I haven't got his courage and his hairstyle. But I mean, from a common sense of all, you know, from a common sense point of view, you know when somebody's doing something completely wrong. You know, you can feel, you can feel the atmosphere. You know, you can absorb it. You can taste it. You're saying, hold on a sec, this man's cuckoo. This is it. That's what we do.
When is someone going to stand up and say something, though, David? We've had this conversation about the emperor's new clothes, where the only person that would stand up and say the emperor's naked was a little boy in the audience. We need a little boy in the audience to say, Mr. Trump, you're messing it up.
They're dead scared of him because he's vindictive, he's hateful, and probably physically intimidating. So if you're a Republican and you're standing for re-election or whatever it is, little Mr. Musk is going to say, okay, we're going to, in the election coming up in next year, we're going to support an alternative candidate. I'll bankroll it. You know, and that's Trump. So this is classic authoritarianism. I mean, this is it. There's no different from any other regime, you know, like that, where you're dead scared to talk up against the people in power because of fear of retribution.
But on the other hand, David, this provides an opportunity for people like yourself who are long of very good companies and want to maybe get longer of them.
I would do that. I think the only thing at the back of my mind is saying, hold on, everything's going fine. What can happen is that he can damage sentiment. In other words, he can damage people's views of the market or of the future, and they say, we're going to delay projects. We're not going to buy now. We'll buy later. You know, that kind of thing. So that's the danger, is that you can send it into a tailspin. And you've got to prevent sentiment from falling below a certain level to the point where consumers say, we're not going to do anything. This is dangerous. I'm not going to buy that house. You're nearly signing for the house. You say, no, I'm going to delay. I don't know what's going to happen. Price could go. That to me is the my big worry. And then also, you know, there is the wealth effect. If you look at your portfolio and you suddenly see it falling, the gain, you get this feeling of insecurity and you don't go out and spend. It's a big driver of economic activity.
Sorry to interrupt, David, but while I've got this thought in my head, it's to do with a car factory, for example. I noticed that Honda has decided to move from Mexico to the United States in order to avoid tariffs. Now, that's not a small job. You got this factory working away in one country, and you've got all your supply lines, and you've got all your employees and everything in place, regulation-wise, and everything else. And Trump says, well, if you move to America, you don't get the tariffs. You're not going to get the 25% tariffs. So they say, okay, we're going to do that. And they move it there, let's say, and it takes a year and a half or something. And then Trump decides to cut the tariffs on Mexico because he's gone. Yeah. He said, you know, tariffs, oh, no, we'll wait a month and then we'll wait another month. Why would anybody listen to what he says and move a huge car plant, which is a massive undertaking and hugely costly as well? I wouldn't do a thing if I was a motor manufacturer.
I think those decisions that are happening are governed by completely different circumstances. So I don't think they've got anything to do with tariffs. We know that TSM, Taiwan Semiconductors, had made this decision a long time ago. The fact that it was announced now is just the culmination of a lot of thought and planning and so on. So I think the same thing with Indiana as well. There must be reason, you know, why it was done. So you bring up a very, very valid point that I think a lot of people have bought their goods now, but they're also going to delay purchases. Everybody's going to delay because of the uncertainty. You know, you don't know from one day to the next what's going to come out of the administration's, out of his mouth and signed with his big signature. So it's here it is. It's in front of you. And there's no apologies. This is all Trump related.
It is. I'm looking at the screen now, David. S&P 500 futures, 1.75% weaker. The other thing I didn't mention was his much touted cryptocurrency investment. It's going to be a reserve currency now. And that's centered up to 109,000. It's now just about to break down Below 80,000. So yeah. that's a $29,000 per coin fall because people just don't trust him. Just say, well.
They should never have trusted him in the first place. You know, knowing what crypto was, to have believed that he was going to do that. Because he, I think he misled a lot of people as well. You know, he got a lot of funding from the crypto people for his campaigns and, his, you know, whatever they had bought or not bought. I think what's in the treasury are those that were forfeited, you know, during fraud or, scams or whatever it is. You know, they took over, the treasury took over and said, okay, we'll keep them. You know, we're not going to sell them. So I don't know if they're buying anymore, but you know, the price action tells you a lot as well. I think that's one thing we could have forecast because to be fair, trying to regulate it, trying to regulate cryptocurrencies and trying to put them into the U.S. Treasury, you know is going to take a long time, a lot of discussion and so on.
Well, the interesting thing is as well is the North Korean hackers that took $1.5 billion worth of coins from one particular trading platform, and now they're just easing them into the market. I think they've sold $300 million worth already, and that goes straight to Kim Jong-un, of course, because he's behind this whole thing, and they maybe get a couple of bags of rice or whatever they get.
You can laugh at it. I mean, it is laughable. It's just whatever.
What's the mood in the Atlantic and the Economist and the FT? Is it the same sort of mood that we've just been describing ourselves?
Except they're far more articulate than me. You know, they put it in a lot more colourful terms. But very much so. In fact, in the Economist, we get different covers, but you know, the one cover was of Trump standing on this huge pile, almost a sea of dollars, with a petrol can. And in his left hand, he had a handful of dollar notes or, you know, American notes there, already a lot, you know, ready to drop onto this, meaning this is what he's doing to the economy.
That's the other thing he's done, of course, is the dollar's fallen precipitously since then. I mean, against the euro, it's gone from that 102 to 108.5, 109. And that doesn't sound like an awful lot, but that sort of market, I mean, the two biggest trading blocks in the world, the eurozone as a collective and the United States as the world's biggest economy, and you get a change in the exchange rate of that magnitude. That is so meaningful.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's... he can't deny it, but what worries me is that the people around him are so nervous to stand up and say, hold on, maybe we should just pull back for a little bit. You know, to be fair, Lindsay, I know that back in December, Powell, after reducing rates in the United States by 1% by 100 points, did the 50 and then the 2. And then he said, oh, we don't have to do anything now. Underlying economy strong, blah, blah. And I think he was fearful of what Trump was going to do because even at that stage, there was an uncomfortable feeling that not everything was right, you know, that there were signs of slowing down. Yes, the job market was very brisk and robust, but a lot of it was low-end jobs, you know, that happened at the year ends or wherever. And one didn't feel that we were going to a year, 2025, of robust or strong growth. And, he stopped reducing rates, waiting to see what Trump's going to do. And now if we start to look at the underlying data, despite what Powell said on Friday, there's a lot of nervousness about whether or not it's as strong as, you know, as people say. There are pockets. There's a lot of spending in AI. The jobs are okay, but not, you know what I mean? It's not strong enough. In other words, the base is not really strong enough to build, much improving economy. You need rates to come down. You need, a lot more spending. You need to make it cheaper to go and borrow and do things and that. And I see it in the utility companies that I follow. You know, you can see the negative gearing of high interest rates because like in utility companies, you're governed by, you've got very small margins. And a lot of, you know, you can't charge what you like because it's electricity, it's water, it's things like that. You know, mainly I look at the power side. And any new project that they do, they're constantly having to maintain their you know, the grid and their products, and that requires you funding at you know, at higher levels. So when interest rates go down, your margins go down, and I've seen huge pressure on utilities because of that. Yes. You know, because of the high costs and that. And those are the kind of companies that are very fragile, you know, to interest rates. So rates come, and rates are high in these states. You know, they're still very high. And, you know, or relatively high, yes, against inflation, maybe, you know, there's just only a slight margin for ability to bring down. But you needed help. Yeah, it's well, in South Africa, it's the same thing. How can we function where you're borrowing money over 11%, the prime rate?
Yeah.
You can't.
No. And we've got the budget coming up in 2 days' time, lest we forget, David. The postponed budget will come out tomorrow, the next day. Yeah. And, yeah, we'll find out exactly what the vision of the ANC is, which is a bit scary. Results season's still going on. We've had AVI out today, share price down 4.5%. Impact, share price down 1%. Mm. Merafe Resources in another sector of the JSE down 15%. It hasn't been pretty, has it? It's been mixed. I mean, that's the kindest way you can describe results season on the JSE.
The results haven't been that great. They've been, you know, for example, Sun International came out with fairly good numbers, and that's because of a recovery in travel and in hospitality. But when you get down to what drives the economy, and I'm not talking the consumer side, things are really tough. You can't run a bank. You know what I mean? You can't run, as I'm saying to you, you can't run businesses on high interest rates and no growth. And the only thing that's kept our market from ticking, the JSE, has been China because of Tencent, which has lifted process on our space. The other side has been early gains in Richemont. You know, it's still up on the year, well up in the year because of the recovery in some of the luxury goods. The other thing is that there has been gold shares, okay? That's because the gold price has gone up. This has got nothing to do with South African economy, whatever I'm saying to you. That's China, that's gold shares, and luxury goods, which is Switzerland. And the other thing is recently there's been a rush into some of the platinum counters. And I can't reconcile that because there is this report that there's going to be a shortage of platinum. You know, platinum and palladium and rhodium and all the other imps that you produce when you take out some ore from the ground. But, there's been, and you know, platinum shares, Lindsay, are local shares. You know, it's mainly local that they buy. And, for whatever reason, there's been a rush to buy platinum counters, and those counters have kind of also given our market a slight lift. But that's it. There's nothing on the financials here are sideways. The retailers are coming under a huge amount of pressure. And all of it, as you know, if you look at the numbers, despite the fact that there was a GNU, you know, government and national unity, and we've stopped with load shedding and that, there's still a lot of issues within our economy.
Okay, so it's a fairly grim Monday, actually.
Yes.
There was a little bit of stability on Friday, but we've come back to the normal thing. Football for both our teams fairly grim as well. Arsenal are destined to finish second, maybe even third, but I think second. Ipswich are going down, that's clear. Well, there's 10 games to go, but I've been saying that since there were 20 games to go. They're going down. But you've got European participation coming up this week, David. You'll go through to the quarterfinals and play whoever it is, one of the Madrid teams.
It will be Real Madrid.
Something to reignite your season.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's another flop year. I know that we're coming in, Arsenal coming in about second, but we never quite get there. You know, Liverpool will win it. Last season was the only one where we had a little bit of hope, but every time where we are second or third or in that region, we far out of touch with whoever's been winning. You know? And just, I don't know, there's just something missing. We're out the cups, the Carabao Cup, we're out the FA Cup, and we're not likely to overcome Real Madrid. I can't see that happening unless we put 10 people in the box. You know, the only chap who's going to save us is Raya, who's brilliant. You know, where they found him, I don't know, from Brighton. Where did he come from?
I don't know where Ray came from. He just came out of nowhere. And they sold Aaron Ramsdale to Southampton. And then suddenly Ray came along and he was your first choice keeper. Yeah,
he's brilliant, John. He is. I mean, thank goodness for him yesterday. But so, I don't know. I just, you know, even yesterday I thought, do I have to watch, rather go and blow out the cake for my eight-year-old or go see my eight-year-old granddaughter blow out her cake before birthday.
That bad, eh?
Blow out the candles on her cake.
Okay. All right, well, that's very depressing. Thanks very much. I don't know if I'll publish this particular podcast. And have lawsuits against us.
We go through this from time. That's the fun of markets. We enjoy down markets as much as we do up markets.
You know? Yeah, there's so much more. It's so much more entertaining to talk about bad news than good news, you know. If a market goes up a third of a percent or half a percent, you think, oh, well, boring. But when it goes down 2%, you think, yes, we can talk about this one. Anyway, David,
thank you. They don't go out like this forever. They come back.
Yeah, of course they do. It's just a natural progression, you know. It's a cycle. David, thank you very much for your time, as always. David Shapiro is from Sassoon Securities in Johannesburg, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.